Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Hanafi Fiqh class with myself, Abu Mus'ab. We are currently doing the kitab known as Nurul Idah of Imam Ashrun Bulali rahimahullah, which we had started 2 weeks ago. So we will be still continuing this class as nobody had commented as to whether we should continue with this class or do a different class. So therefore we will be continuing with this until further notice. So, without further ado, we can start the class. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Last time we had stopped at just before the chapter of Isinja. So we had ended here with regards to the purifying of the water in wells. That if animals die in it or impurities fall in it and all these other various things. So that is what we had done last time. So now the new chapter is Faslun fil istinja'i wa ma yajibu taqdimuhu ala al-wudu. The chapter regarding istinja, which means to clean yourself in the toilet, and what is required and obligatory upon you that you do it prior to making wudu. This is what this chapter is all about. So he says, يَلْزِمُ الرَّجُلُ الْإِسْتِبْرَاءُ حَتَّى يَزُولَ أَثَرُ الْبَوْلِ وَيَطْمَئِنُّ قَلْبَهُ على حسب عادته إما بالمشي أو التنحنح أو الاضطجاع أو غيره. He says it is necessary for a man to make sure that all the urine has stopped all dripping and leakage whatsoever has stopped and that his heart is now satisfied. He knows, okay, there's nothing more going to be coming out. According to his natural habit, he knows, each person knows to himself that, okay, it's over now, there won't be anything more coming. And he says, people have to do it in different ways. Some people walk, some people cough, or we say some lie down and think, okay, this may be a little bit difficult for people to, some people to understand, because when they think toilet, they think sitting on a Western style toilet. So, to think lying down and things like this, it boggles the mind a bit. But in any case, this has to be understood in the context again. Like I mentioned last week, these things were written in the time before any of these things like these type of toilets and stuff came into existence. Therefore, the people had different methods and ways of doing things. So, and in any case, it's not necessary that the person has to cough or to walk or to lie down, like is mentioned here. He says this is just like some of the ways and means that people do to ensure that there is no more drops coming out. So the purpose is to make certain that there are no drops coming out and not to do the actual actions of walking and stuff that is mentioned over here. The aim and the object, like he says here, is وَيَطْمَئِنُّ قَلْبَهُ. His heart must be satisfied. He must be satisfied to himself that no more drops will be coming out. And not just, you know, do a half-hearted quick job and then you end up with drops coming out, and this is a means of punishment in the grave. So therefore, before and additionally, you will be dirtying your clothing and various other things which leads up to you not being able to, plus with the drops coming out, it will break your wudu and various other things. So therefore, it is obligatory before you come to wudu, you make certain that there is no more urine exiting from the body. So this is the first thing. He says, وَلَا يَجُوزُ لَهُ الشُّرُوعُ فِي الْوُضُوءِ حَتَّى يَطْمَئِنَّ بِزَوَالِ رَشْحِ الْبَوْلِ. He says it is not permissible for him to start making wudu until he is now completely satisfied that the leakage and the exiting of urine has stopped in its entirety. No more drops are coming out. Only then will it be permissible for you to perform wudu. While you are still in this case where there may be 1-2 drops coming out, it is not permissible for you to perform wudu. That is, so to say, the only requirement prior to wudu which he has mentioned here in this kitab. He goes on further, he says, Hukmul istinja. The ruling of istinja, cleaning yourself, like I say, istinja is to clean yourself in the toilet. So he says, Wal istinja'u sunnatun min najisin yakhruju min as-sabilaini ma lam yatajawaz al-makhraj. That istinja is sunnah from the dirt which exits from the two, Sabilain means the two parts, the two exit points from the front and back. When something exits from here, then you require istinja and it will be sunnah. He says, ما لم يتجاوز المخرج. As long as the impurities which exits the body does not smear and or wetten the parts of the body. So I suppose it should not be too difficult to understand. As long as it comes just straight out without touching you elsewhere, then the ruling on istinja in that case will be sunnah. Obviously, okay, he'll mention it here. وَإِن تَجَاوَزَ وَكَانَ قَدْرُ الدِّرْهَمِ وَجَبَ إِزَالَتُهُ بِالْمَاءِ. He says, if the impurities goes beyond the exit points and it is the amount of a dirham, so the impurities now touches your body and the amount of the impurity touching your body is the size of a dirham, then it becomes wajib to remove this impurity by water. So therefore in this case, istinja becomes, as you could say, wajib. It's no longer sunnah. It changed from sunnah now to wajib. And wajib, like we translate it, is, so to say, obligatory. He then continues, وَإِنْ زَادَ عَلَى الدِّرْهَمِ افْتَرَضَ. And if it goes more, the impurities is of a larger size than one dirham, then it becomes fard. So, when it's under a dirham, it's wajib. When it's over a dirham, it's fard. Fard and wajib are very much the same. In fact, in English, it's translated as both as obligatory, compulsory. So, there's nothing that you can say. There's a bit of a distinction here. There is a slight difference between the two, but it's nothing major. In any case, if the impurity is attached to your body, it becomes necessary that you remove it from the body. That is the thing of utmost importance. He continues, وَيَفْطَرِدُ غسل ما في المخرج عند الاغتسال من الجنابة والحيض والنفاس وإن كان ما في المخرج قليلا. He says, it also becomes obligatory to wash the exit point itself when you are taking a bath. When you are taking a ghusl, not just having a shower, but you're taking an actual ghusl, either from janaba. Janaba means, how people translate it, as ritual impurity, where, like for instance, a person has slept with his wife like this. You become in a state of ritual impurity, and here you require ghusl. So when you are making your ghusl, then it's necessary for you to clean the exit point as well. And he says, so from janaba, and also from hayd, which is the menstrual bleeding, and one nifas, which is the postnatal bleeding. So in all cases like this, when a person is making ghusl, then you have to wash the exit point as well. And he says, وَإِنْ كَانَ مَا فِي الْمَخْرَجِ قَلِيلًا. Even if the amount in the exit passage is a little amount, still there's only a little bit of dirt over there, still too, you have to clean it. And he says, وَيُسَنُّ أَيَّسْتَنْجِيَ بِحَجَرٍ مُنَقِّن وَنَحْوِهِ. He says, it is sunnah to perform istinja, to clean yourself with a clean stone or something similar to it. وَالْغَسْلُ بِالْمَاءِ أَحَبُّ. But to wash, to make istinja with water is more likable, it is the better way. But it says, وَالْأَفْضَلُ الْجَمْعُ بَيْنَ الْمَاءِ وَالْحَجَرِ فَيَمْسَحُ ثُمَّ يَغْسِلُ. But the best way is to join and do both of them, both water and the stone. So you wipe and then you wash. وَيُجُوزُ أَن يَقْتَصِرَ عَلَى الْمَاءِ أَوِ الْحَجَرِ. But it will be permissible for a person to limit himself and just use water or just use a stone. And the stone here was, as you can say, the toilet paper, toilet roll of the ancient days. So, like I mentioned, in today's time, people go to a Western toilet. For you to take a clean yourself with a stone and throw it down the toilet bowl, it's not going to be very viable. So, what people use nowadays in the toilet is toilet paper. So, therefore, in this case here, you use the toilet paper, it takes the place of the stone. So, you don't have to stockpile stones there to use in the bathroom. So in any case, you say that it's best if you use both water, and I'll put in our terms the toilet paper. It's best if you use both of them, but if obviously the impurities have not touched your body and gone further, then in that case it will be permissible for you to use just water and wash yourself, or use just the toilet paper and clean yourself in that manner. He then says, والسنة إنقاء المحلي والعدد في الأحجار مندوب لا سنة مؤكدة. He says it is sunnah to purify the area and to the actual amount of stones, using a prescribed amount like 3. This is mandub, meaning it is mandub. Another term for it is mustahab, meaning it is recommended. But it's not sunnah mu'akkada that you have to wipe yourself thrice in the bathroom. Here he's referring to wiping yourself with 3 stones, or as you can say, wiping with 3 different pieces of toilet roll. So this is mandub, it is mustahab, it is recommended, but it is not quite on the level of something being sunnah mu'akkada, an emphasized sunnah. And so he says, فَيَسْتَنْجِيَ بِثَلَاثَةِ أَحْجَارٍ نُدُبًا إِنْ حَصَلَ التَّنْظِيفُ بِمَا دُونَهَا. So if you are able to clean yourself with, let's say, 1 stone, then to use the 2, the second and third one will be mandub, it will be mustahab, like I say. But obviously, if 1 stone is not sufficient, then obviously you can't just restrict yourself to that 1 stone. You have to use a second and a third, and if need be, you use more, as much as required. Because the purpose is to clean yourself and remove all impurities. The reason why he's mentioning this here is because there's a bit of a difference between the madhahib. According to the Hanafi madhab, 1 stone is sufficient. According to the Shafi'i madhab, Imam Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said that 3 is a requirement, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that you should clean yourself performing istinja with 3 stones. So therefore, Imam Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he took this narration and said you have to do it with 3 stones. The Hanafi madhab say no, you don't have to do it with 3 stones, and the proof behind it is another hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke also on this topic and said a person should use clean himself with an odd number, meaning 3 or so, but of course, whoever had done this, he has done something good, but whoever didn't do this, then there's no harm upon him. So obviously, when there's no harm, no blame upon a person for not using 3, it goes to show that it is not obligatory to use 3. So therefore, the Hanafi madhab say, if you use 1 or if you use 2, it will be permissible, no harm at all on you, but to use 3 will be mustahab, it will be recommended. Okay, now comes a bit of a different sort of chapter here. This is kayfiyyatuhu, the method of how to perform istinja. This topic, this small chapter, is a little bit very graphic, so I won't be translating this part in its entirety. I will translate where necessary, small pieces here and there. If you want to read more, I would suggest you take the kitab and you read the chapter. I will read it in Arabic, but I will not translate it. If you understand Arabic, well and good, you should be able to understand from the kitab, or otherwise you can look it up yourself in the kitab, because like I say, it's too graphic to be speaking to like this is a mixed audience. There are males and females both listening in, and it's not something that I would say I feel very comfortable with speaking like this to a mixed audience, especially when it's quite so graphic. So in any case, he says, وَكَيْفِيَّةُ الْإِسْتِنْجَاءِ أَنْ يَمْسَحَ بِالْحَجَرِ الْأَوَّلِ مِنْ جِهَةِ الْمُقَدَّمِ إِلَى خَلْفٍ وَبِالثَّانِي مِنْ خَلْفٍ إِلَى قِدَامٍ وَبِالثَّالِثِ مِنْ قِدَامٍ إِلَى خَلْفٍ إِذَا كَانَتِ الْخَصِيَّةُ مُدَلَّاهُ. He says the method of making istinja is that you wipe yourself once from the front to the back, then from the back to the front, and then from the front to the back again. This is, he's speaking now for a man. I won't translate the rest of that piece. He says, وَإِن كَانَتْ غَيْرُ مُدَلَّهُ يَبْتَدِئُ مِنْ خَلْفٍ إِلَىٰ قِدَامٍ. Okay, This is another part I will just leave out. والمرأة تبتدئ من قدام إلى خلف خشية تلويث فرجها. This part will also be left untranslated. ثم يغسل يده أولا بالماء ثم يدلك المحل بالماء بباطن إصبعين أو إصبعين أو ثلاثة إن احتاج. This part also will leave untranslated. ويصعد الرجل إصبعه الوسطى على غيرها في ابتداء الاستنجاء ثم يصعد بنصره ولا يقتصر على إصبع واحدة. We'll also leave this untranslated. والمرأة تصعد بنصرها وأوسط أصابعها معا ابتداء خشية حصول اللذة. We'll leave this one also very much untranslated. ويبالغ في التنظيف حتى يقطع الرائحة الكريهة وفي إرخاء المقعدة إن لم يكن صائما. I'll translate just the first part here. He says that you are supposed to clean yourself in the toilet so much so that all the bad smells goes away. You don't leave yourself smelling bad because you don't do a proper job and just get up and go on. No, you will clean yourself properly till there is no dirt or smells left, bad smells left behind. And we leave the next part. فإذا فرغ غسل يده ثانيا ونشف مقعدته قبل القيام إذا كان صائما. Yes, one part here, which is slightly relevant to another chapter, but it's mentioned here in particular. This is, to put this thing into context, this is a person who is cleaning himself in the toilet or having performed ghusl or whatever the case may be, and he had poured water all over himself now and everything, and he's in a squatting position and everything. So now, obviously with the water having gone everywhere, he's going to get up now. So he says here that you first dry yourself before getting up, because if you are fasting and water is drawn inwards, then your fast would break in that manner. So therefore, if there is obviously the water having gone everywhere, you first dry yourself to prevent any water from entering the body. Because if it whether it goes down your mouth or your nose or any other way that water enters into your body, then your fast from another exit passage as well, if the water enters in through there as well, then the fast will break. So therefore, this is, like I said, this is actually relevant to the chapter of fasting, but it's mentioned here just by the way, so I thought I'd mention it here, just quick translation of this piece. So in any case, the khulasa, put it in perspective. Just make sure you dry yourself so that no water enters from the back. That's basically it. Otherwise, if any water enters that way, your fast will automatically break, and you will then have to perform qada. You would be repeating one single fast. Okay, that is the ending chapter on the method of performing istinja. What I said, in today's times, it's not so unheard of or so difficult for people to know how to clean themselves in the toilet. Like I say, there is sufficient, people got enough toilet roll, they've got sufficient water, so you're not going to be in a situation. Plus, obviously, you know that you have to clean yourself of all impurities, so to go into the nitty-gritty of how exactly you go up and down and all that, what tools you use and things like that, this is not a necessity. So if anybody needs to know it, like on a necessary basis, then they could send me a private message and I would explain it there, inshallah. But other than that, it's people, if you are listening to this, it means you've already been alive for at least 12 years or so, because I don't think we've got anyone under 12 listening in. So you at least know how to clean yourself in the toilet, so there's, so to say, there's nothing new to teach you about how to clean yourself in the toilet. You already know how to do it sufficiently. So in any case, therefore, with all those graphic statements previously mentioned, we will skip past it. And like I said, if you want to read it, you can read it yourself from the kitab, but we will leave it at that. Okay then, moving on, he says, فصل فيما يجوز به الاستنجاء وما لا يجوز به وما يكره فعله حال قضاء الحاجة. This is a chapter regarding what is permissible to clean yourself with, as meaning when you're making istinja, what is permissible. وَمَا لَا يَجُوزُ بِهِ, what is not permissible to clean yourself with. وَمَا يُكْرَهُ فِعْلُهُ, and what is disliked for a person to do while he is relieving himself. So while, in today's time, while you are on the toilet, what things are disliked, what is makruh for you to be doing. That is what this is discussed in this chapter here. Here he starts out and he says, لَا يَجُوزُ كَشْفُ الْعَوْرَةِ لِلْإِسْتِنْجَاءِ. Literally means it is not permissible to expose the private area for istinja. Obviously, if you look at this without understanding it in context, how exactly do you clean yourself if you are not exposed? What is referring to here is exposing yourself in the presence of others. So, you don't, if you, in whatever the case may be, where there's anybody who can see you, then you don't take your clothing off to do istinja. You rather, you clean yourself in a covered area. But like today, the toilets have doors and things, so you are free to clean yourself without any onlookers peeping and stuff like that. So therefore, even this part here is not so relevant in today's time. Okay, then he says, وَإِن تَجَاوَزَتِ النَّجَاسَةُ مَخْرَجَهَا وَزَادَ الْمُتَجَاوِزُ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ الدِّرْهَمِ لَا تَصِحُ مَعَهُ الصَّلَاةُ إِذَا وُجِدَ مَا يَزِيلُهُ وَيَحْتَالُ لِإِزَالَتِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ كَشْفِ الْعَوْرَةِ عِنْدَمَا يَرَاهُ. He says that when the impurities exceeds the boundaries of the exit passage and the amount which has exited is more than the size of a dirham, then with this amount of impurity on you, salah will not be valid when you have something to remove it. For example, you have water, you have a stone, you have toilet paper, you have any other very of the permissible things to use. Then in this case, if you perform salah in this manner, your salah will not be valid. And he says that a person has to do his utmost best in removing all the impurities without opening up his awrah, his nakedness, his private parts in front of people who are able to have a look at him. So this is similar to the top part, kashful awrati lil istinja, is where people can see you. So you must clean yourself to the best of your ability. Obviously, this too is in those days where there was no set out building which is a toilet with a door, or it's a whole room all on its own and stuff like this. People would go just somewhere in the bushes and things like that, so it's possible someone can come past and see you and things like that. So therefore, this is to be understood in that context there. But now in today's times, where there are official toilets, you go inside, you close the door, you lock the door, nobody can see you and things like this, then there is no harm, I mean there's no difficulty in you being able to clean yourself and removing all the impurities. So this year he's saying you have to try your utmost in such a, if you happen to be in such a place where there are people who can see you. But like I say, since now today you can go where people can't see you, then you have to just remove all the impurities from yourself. He continues on, he says, ma yukrahu bihil istinja'u, what things are disliked to use to clean yourself with. He says, وَيُكْرَهُ الْإِسْتِنْجَاءُ بِعَظْمٍ وَطَعَامٍ لِآدَمِيٍ أَوْ بَهِيمَةٍ. He says, it is makruh, it is disliked, to clean yourself with a bone, or with food of humans. Let's say you take a slice of bread, or a roti, or whatever other food thing you can think of, and you clean yourself with this, this will be makruh. Or rather, it would be a much worse. This would be, when he say makruh here, he refers to makruh tahrimi, which is tantamount to haram. So obviously, it's natural if you clean yourself with a slice of bread, the harm, the wrongs about it is quite blatantly clear. So I don't think there's even a need to explain why it is makruh tahrimi, or why it's impermissible to do so. So when it comes to the, with regards to the bones, why you can't use bones, then this is because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prohibited us from making istinja with bones or with feces and other such things, because it is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the bones is the food for the jinn. So therefore, you should not clean yourself in the toilet with it. That is why we don't use bones, and why we don't use human food is quite natural, like I said. And he says, "Ta'amin li adamiyin aw bahima," food either for humans or for animals. So, if it is, let's see, what food animals eat now, apart, let's say, hay or something like that, you have a stable and now you start using the hay to clean yourself in the toilet and you deprive the poor horses and other animals of the hay, then this will also be incorrect. It will be makruh tahrimi for you to use it, because you have other things to clean yourself with. Leave the hay for the animals to eat and use the toilet roll that you have been given. Okay, then he goes on. Okay, these are those three things above. Bone, human food, animal food is makruh. And he says, وَآجُرٍ وَخَزْفٍ وَفَحْمٍ وَزُجَاجٍ وَجَصٍ وَشَيْءٍ مُحْتَرِمٍ كَخِرْقَةِ دِيبَاجٍ وَقُطْنٍ وَبِالْيَدِ الْيُمْنَى إِلَّا مِنْ عُذْرٍ. Likewise, it is also makruh tahrimi to use baked bricks and anything which has been baked with or made with fire, like let's say in today's times tiles and other such things. Likewise, he says it's also impermissible to use glass and coal and gypsum and anything which is of value and a respectable nature. So, like he says, for example, a piece of silk or a piece of cotton. So you have let's say a silken handkerchief or a cotton handkerchief and things like this. This is a shay'un muhtarim. It is an object of value. You don't clean yourself in the toilet with it. It's not, as you can say, it's not something which has been made to clean yourself in the toilet with. Therefore, it will be makruh tahrimi to use things like this to clean yourself in the toilet. Obviously, you have your toilet roll and things, then you use that because it has been created for that purpose. So you avoid all these bricks and glass and coal and all these other things. And I mean bricks, baked bricks, not ordinary bricks, because we did previously, you clean yourself with normal stones. So when it's referred to as bricks, it means baked bricks, those things which have been made with fire. Okay, and he says, likewise also, it is makruh tahrimi to clean yourself with the right hand, except for some, if a person has some excuse, some reason. For instance, your left hand is hurt, or your lame, or whatever the case may be, that requires you to use your right hand. In that case, you can, it will be permissible. Then you have an udhr, you are ma'adhur, you are excused for using your right hand. Okay, then he goes, adabu qada'il hajati, the etiquettes of relieving yourself. He says, وَيَدْخُلُ الْخَلَاءُ بِرِجْلِهِ الْيُسْرَى وَيَسْتَعِيذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قَبْلَ دُخُولِهِ. You enter the toilet with your left foot and you seek the protection of Allah from the shaytan al-rajim, the rejected, accursed shaytan, before you enter the toilet. So you don't say it when you are in the toilet, but rather you say it before you enter the toilet. Then he says, وَيَجْلِسُ مُعْتَمِدًا عَلَى يَسَارِهِ وَلَا يَتَكَلَّمُ إِلَّا لِضَرُورَةٍ. You sit leaning towards your left, and you do not speak except for necessity. This is inclining towards the left, and this is not speaking for necessity. He mentioned here for necessity, when it's just like it's in, you find common today amongst the kuffar, they stand at these urinals and relieve themselves next to one another, and they have a jolly good conversation while they're busy relieving themselves. This Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when two people go to relieve themselves and they uncover themselves and they start talking, then Allah becomes angry at them doing this. When you are in the toilet, you're supposed to keep silent and not have your conversations, talking on your phone and all these other sort of things like this. These things should be avoided. He says, إِلَّا لِضَرُورَةٍ, except if there is some necessity. Let's say, if somebody knock on the door, they don't know if the door is locked or whether there's somebody inside and they knock and they ask, is someone inside? Then you can answer and you can say, yes, I'm inside you, or something like that. Because now it is a necessity. In case somebody breaks the door down and they find you in the toilet because you didn't answer when they were knocking and asking if there's somebody inside here. So, therefore he says, for necessity. He then says, وَيُكْرَهُ تَحْرِيمًا إِسْتِقْبَالُ الْقِبْلَةِ وَاسْتِدْبَارِهَا وَلَوْ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. It is makruh tahrimi to face the qibla with your facing forward or facing your back towards the qibla, even if you are in a building while you are relieving yourself. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, with regards to relieving yourself, do not face towards the qibla and not, do not turn your back towards it. وَلَكِنْ شَرِّقُوا أَغْغَرِيبُوا, face either to the east or to the west. Meaning face left or right, but don't face your, let your side face the qibla, but do not let your front or your back face towards the qibla while you are relieving yourself. He says, وَاسْتِقْبَالُ عَيْنِ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ. It is makruh tahrimi, prohibitively disliked, to face you towards the sun or the moon when you are relieving yourself. وَمُهِبِّ الرِّيحِ, and to, I should say, to blow out wind, or rather, to, the wind is blowing towards you and you are relieving yourself in this manner because the wind is strong enough to blow it back on you, so either on your body or on your clothing. So do not relieve yourself into an oncoming gust of wind, but rather you go where the wind does not blow around so that the impurities does not fall back on you. And he says, وَيُكْرَهُ أَن يَبُولَ أَوْ يَتَغَوَّطَ فِي الْمَاءِ وَالظِّلِّ. He says, it is also makruh that a person urinates or excretes in water or in a place of shade. In water is natural. People come and drink from the water. Animals drink from the water. Now you go and you relieve yourself in that water. Now an unsuspecting person comes along because he don't notice it and he drinks it and it's some other strange tasting water he'll be ending up with. And animals may get some diseases from you dropping your stuff inside there when it is their drinking holes. And he says, also, wadhilli, doing it in a place of shade, because under trees and so on, normally people come and they sit down, they have a rest, they want to have a picnic and things, and now they come and they find a whole lot of human droppings laying all over the place, or they come and they sit and something is wet there on the floor and things like this. This is cause, it's a means of taklif, it's a means of harm and difficulty and problems you cause people by doing it in places of shade. And this ruling of shade will apply to all other spheres of life where you would cause harm to people. Now you go outside somebody's door and you drop something there, you'd come out, step out unknowingly, tramp inside it, you know, or by a park bench or things, and people come and sit there, put their basket something next to it, now you've left a bundle next to the chair. All these things where you can call, where some harm to people can take place, whether it's human beings or animals, whenever you doing these things will cause harm to people, then all of this should be avoided. He says, also, wal juhri wa tariq. Apart from not relieving yourself in water or in places of shade, he also says, wal juhri, this is in holes. Because, like for instance, a snake hole and things like this, like I mentioned, you cannot harm humans, nor can you harm animals either. Now you go and you drop something in a hole and there's a snake living inside there, how must he get out? He can die underneath the stuff that you dropped inside his hole. That's if he don't come out and bite you or something of the sort. So avoid doing it in holes. And he says, وَالطَّرِيقِ, or on the road. Obviously, whether people are walking, you do it on the sidewalk or in the street where people, cars drive over it and things like this. It's all, in all these things, it causes a lot of harm and difficulty and for you to just dump your dirt all over the place like this. Therefore, you should avoid, it will not be permissible for you to go around relieving yourself in these places. He also says, وَتَحْتَ شَجْرَةٍ مُثْمِرَةٍ, and also you may not relieve yourself under a fruit tree. Because now naturally when it's a fruit tree, there will be people coming under the tree to take to pluck the fruit to eat. But now they can't come pluck the fruit because there's a perimeter of dirty matter laying around the tree, so they can't come near to take the fruit. Therefore, or they come there and they don't see it and they tramp in it, and then they have problems now, their shoes, or if they're not wearing shoes and things, and they've tramped in your najasa, your impurities which you have dumped all over the ground. So therefore, it's all will also not be permissible to do it under a fruit tree. He then says, وَالْبَوْلُ قَائِمًا إِلَّا مِنْ عُذْرٍ. It is also makruh that you should relieve yourself while standing, except if there is an excuse. Meaning an excuse, you have some reason, you can't sit down, you can't bend your knees or whatever the case may be, for something like this, then it will be permissible to stand. Otherwise, to just stand like this, it will be makruh. And just commenting on this point here, coming touching a little bit more into a bit more fiqh and hadith, there's a mention of one hadith wherein it's mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood. The reason for that, there is another hadith, if you find the hadith of Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu anha, who said that whoever tells you that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam relieved himself while standing is a liar, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only relieved himself while sitting. This is the hadith of Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu anha. Then we find that the other Sahabi who narrated, and he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood on this one occasion. So it seems like there's an apparent contradiction between the two, but in reality there is not. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she spoke with regards to what she had seen and which was the norm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she spoke on how people should do it and how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always did it at home. But this was when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it on this one occasion, it was illa li udhrin, illa min udhrin. There was some excuse, there was some reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done it. This is the famous hadith reported by various sahaba with difference of wording. The narration of Hazrat Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiyallahu anhu mentioned that أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سباطة قوم فبال وتوضأ ومسح على ناصيته وخفيه, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم came to the dumps of a particular people and he relieved himself and he wiped his forelock and over his leather socks. Another narration of this hadith mentioned فبال قائما. If I'm not mistaken, I think this hadith is reported by Hazrat Hudhayfa رضي الله عنه. In this hadith it's mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam relieved himself while standing. The reference I'm not 100% certain of, but I think if I'm not mistaken, Imam al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah, he reports in his Sunan al-Kubra the hadith that the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood was because the like I mentioned, there was an excuse, and the reason was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had hurt his legs. So therefore, obviously, like I mentioned, if you hurt your knee and your leg, the bending becomes a problem. So therefore, you now have an excuse why you are standing. So it was because of this that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood on this one occasion. But just to stand for no reason, it will be makruh. Then he says, وَيَخْرُجُ مِنَ الْخَلَاءِ بِرِجْلِهِ الْيُمْنَى, and a person will exit the toilet with his right leg. So you enter with your left foot and you exit with your right foot. ثُمَّ يَقُولُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنِّي الْأَذَى وَعَافَانِي. The dua you recite when you exit the toilet, you say, Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anni al-adha wa afani. All praise is due to Allah who has removed from me harm and has protected me. So This is the hadith, the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, that you will recite when you exit from the toilet. Okay then. That is now finally the end of the chapter on istinja. The next chapter will finally go into wudu. Faslun fil wudu, the chapter.